Hi everyone, this is Gilad.
This is Nathan.
And we are here at Bike Banter, here with you once a week, every Thursday. Please join us for some fun bike talk.
This is good.
What about
your shoes are like made by Legos.
Yeah.
The soles. Really? Look at them. Look at the soles.
We're recording, Lego blocks. By the way.
Yeah.
So. Since when?
Since 8 seconds
ago. At least I know how to tie my shoes.
Look, I got Velcro and boas.
Boas.
Yeah.
I don't need to tie.
When did we become so lazy?
I don't know. Boas
is that the optimal? Cool. Is that the optimal lacing system?
Are you talking like how many thousands of years ago did we become so lazy? Like,
no. I'm just talking about are those riding shoes? Those are riding shoes.
Kind of. I don't ride in them, but yeah, they are.
You don't. You wear those.
They're for flats. They don't have.
You wear a lazy shoe.
Why? No, actually, it takes more time to boa in and out.
Yeah, but they don't. They never come undone.
No. You can make them if you want to. Yeah.
Right. Pull it.
Yeah. And the Velcro.
Velcro.
Yeah. So it's got Velcro and boa.
Anyone here wants to
see your shoes there? What's going on there? You got Legos? Legos on the soles?
These are...
What, child shoes?
OC? On cloud? Something or other.
Who are you? This new
My
voice.
Name?
Yeah. Josh,
you know
is
who
here.
I am.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
But you need to say...
It's been a while.
Oh.
Our listeners.
Everybody's Joshua's favorite
need a refresher.
Guest.
It's not a guest. You're like a...
Sorry.
Everybody's, you think you're a guest? You're one of the trio.
I am...
No.
I am bottom of the barrel.
He's a staple, but it's a staple that's been out of stock for a long time.
Yes. But we were out of stock for a while, too.
We were.
Like,
so...
Pandemic toilet paper.
Pandemic toilet paper? So that's a high-grade toilet paper.
Very.
Not better, but more
Charmin.
Expensive. Charmin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had a problem getting toilet paper in the pandemic.
I didn't either. But then again, I never went out and bought a whole bunch of it.
Every time I went to Costco, they had it. Every time I went to the supermarket, they had it.
So my logic process is like, you're stuck at home. You're in the bathroom. You're on the toilet. You're right next to your everything. Right. Water, shower, all that stuff. Like, yeah. And if you don't have food, then you don't need the toilet paper. I mean, after a few days, not much point at it.
Go eat,
I don't know,
a deer?
In theory, people should be washing.
Yeah, but the people who stocked up on toilet paper weren't going to get a deer on their
own. People stocking toilet paper had a problem.
Not what was going to happen.
Something was wrong with them.
Would you, either of you consider...
Talk to the mic. Not, yeah, there you go.
Consider...
Don't talk to me about how I hold
it is not like your fancy headphones. You got to talk. Yeah, there you go. Sounds better.
So, would either of you consider doing your part for the environment and eradicating toilet paper... Single-use papers.
Bidet?
Hold on. Let me finish. So.
Talk slower. It'll
so. Fecal matter. Hold on.
Yeah.
Fecal matter. It's organic matter, right?
Yes.
It doesn't stain.
Mm-hmm. It stains. Yours is transparent?
No, I mean, it doesn't stain like.
He doesn't have kids. He doesn't know what he's talking about, really.
No, you can. Hold on. You can get it out. Okay. My point is, you keep a stack of cotton, washable, purpose-driven pieces next to your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't flush them, and you wash them. Okay? Would either of you commit to this? It's much better for the environment.
Have you done it?
Can we get rid of this guy here? Like, he's already, I mean, done.
Parents will do that with their kids.
Some parents
like
do
newborns,
that with
newborns.
Right,
diapers.
But why does it stop at newborns? Why can't... Why we should be doing
our part. The washing is horrible.
Yeah, but...
The washing, you got to use like an industrial...
Then
something.
Use it.
So now you're
Boil
putting
it.
Chemicals into the environment.
No, all natural.
All natural chemicals that remove...
No, all natural detergent. I have to use it.
You should look at what's your all-natural detergent.
That's why I never smell clean.
Do you know what's different between all-natural detergent and not all-natural detergent?
Tell me.
It's how long it takes it to actually basically evaporate.
So you're telling me that a solution of, like, let's just say some lemon juice and some baking soda.
Is that what you use for your laundry?
Not me. We order our all-natural laundry detergent.
You should read the ingredients.
You got a big yard. Why don't you go in the yard?
Yeah. Leaves and
no, I'm just trying to
grow like lambs here in the yard. Using that, it's biodegradable. It's a growth.
It's not a bad topic. Honestly, I think a bidet is fine. I think I want to go to a just water that washes up your.
Now we're talking
stuff, and then that's that. It's great.
Yeah, I love them.
Yes, me too.
Feels good.
Yes.
Like, no, not like...
I've never used one.
Not like it just feels clean. Wonderful. It feels good.
Yeah.
Like societies that have bidets, a little bit happier.
French and Japanese.
A little bit happier.
Japanese are not very happy people.
They're pretty uptight.
Yeah.
They're high... I mean, not that bad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Maybe I'm just saying they're pretty high strung.
Water there.
Yeah, nice.
But they're also very... Oh, I'm serious.
They? Like, come on.
I'm kind of high strung, too.
Yeah. But you don't have water. You don't have nice stream of warm water hitting your... Hitting the old bowl.
They're not going to be warm. If you're going to put a bidet like
they one make of those, warm ones, you need to, hey, listen, elevate your game. Where have you two been?
But you got, okay, what do you mean they make warm? You have to run a pipe that has warm water to it.
Or they have individual heat. They have a mechanism just like really? You have insta hot water. Yeah, a little reservoir heats it up.
I'm going to check out of this whole bidet thing because I don't know what to talk about.
Why?
Because I don't have it. Like, I have
you
no.
You can buy one for $40 and you
but
can.
But I'm just saying, I have nothing solid to add to this conversation.
Solid.
I don't have experience with it. I didn't mean it.
Nathan's got it.
He's got a solid.
He's got it. He's still got it.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, sure.
It feels
fully planned.
So I'm gonna roll backwards. Wait, I'm going to roll backwards to shoes, actually. And then I'm going to bring it back to cycling. Look at that.
Hmm.
Do you guys know how come there's no BOA, for instance, for running shoes? I mean, it is a good system. It doesn't, like, it's strong, right? It's easy. It looks good, I think. But yet you don't use it in running. How come?
Because it needs, I'm going to say something about the foot swelling and actually needing it needs to be able to flex a little bit more than the bow, because the bow is a pretty substantial wire system. It doesn't give a lot of give.
You can grab on my my lace and try to move it. You'll see it's very stiff. It's not a it's
no,
not
no,
a
no, 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 no.
Bows are care. Still laces.
They're
yeah, but
lace.
They're a wire. I'm yeah. just saying maybe less flexing.
Do you know, Nathan?
I don't.
Do you want to know?
Hold on. No, I want to figure this out.
Yeah.
No.
So, like, okay, think about this, where you can have boas. Skis have boas. Like, when
snowboard
you have ski
boots.
Snowboard boots have boas, right?
Yeah. Motocross. Maybe. No, actually, I haven't. Actually, those are all buckles.
No, they'll have boas. They have, like, multiple boas that you can tighten your
Well,
thing.
I know, but I had buckles on mine.
But running shoes don't have them, right? And walking shoes don't have them.
Weight.
The way you said?
Weight.
Weights could have them. I don't know if they make them or not.
I mean, the weight of it is an issue.
That's what I'm saying.
How much they weigh?
No, they're not that. They're very light. Yeah.
Hold on.
There's actually a physiomechanical reason. Whoa, that's a lot of dead time. I can give you the answer.
No, go ahead.
Like, the whole point is, yeah, okay.
Give us a shot.
All right.
All right, tell us what. Tell us, mister.
Because those sports require the heel to be tight in the place and not moving. Where running and walking, your heel is actually moving in the shoe and requires to move backward and forward. It's part of the how we use our foot. So in anything that your heel needs to be in place to do it well, we have BOA, which does a really good job at doing that. That's it. It wasn't complex, actually. But cycling is a lot of, you cannot have any heel motion. So does snowboarding and skiing. If your heel moves, it's awful, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get a good boots for, actually. So you have less heel movement. Same with, like, weightlifting could be the same thing because you want to have no movement of the shoe.
Who told you all this?
It's like a common thing.
He was born knowing it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Well, I wasn't sure if I wanted to pull my phone up and...
You should. You can.
Double check.
No,
you can.
And this isn't one of those ones I care enough about.
But if you find...
Like, cool, look at the big brain on Galad here.
No, you know? It's like, it's something I'm interested in, right? Because I used to do a lot of fittings, and so it's a question that as BOA came to be, this was just a basic question you can think of. And so I think I asked someone actually in one of those companies that make them. Maybe it was even that I asked the people at BOA, because they would go out and show their stuff. Like, you can buy BOA for whatever product you want, right? I mean, they made them for, there's actually like cycling bag that have BOA to close them, and there's all sort of application to try to use. And in a running shoe, if you want to have a BOA, it will not be on the whole shoe. It will just be like on a piece of it. So if you go find one. I mean, they might make something. But anyway, it's a short segment on why BOAs don't come on running shoes.
Do you think it... I feel like it took too long for the BOA system to come about.
What does that mean?
Well, you think about how long
been, snow... Like, the wheel should have been invented a long time ago kind of thing. Like,
you know what I would actually like, and I don't know if this would work.
Adult kids?
No, I remember being a... No, a... Being a kid,
Kangas?
Like how adult hard Kangas. It was. No, like that's snowboard boot. Well, first off, snowboard boots when you like the first snowboard boots, which were basically just Sorels, but the first snowboard boots where you just had to lace them, and they had the hook loops. And mm-hmm. You know, like,
oh, it sucked.
That was worst.
I still have some of those.
You know what skate. Had that? Wait, yeah, hockey skates. And you know what else had that?
No, the boat.
Rollerblades.
Yeah,
same thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Sucked.
Yeah, they had laces, and then you might get the one. Ratchet. It wasn't even a ratchet. It was just the one.
Oh yeah, you do like the ratchet to, in, and then push. You go clicks backwards. Yeah.
Well, you had to click it in, and then they came up with the rat
pull
actual
backwards. Yeah.
Ratchet system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that blew my mind. I was like, yeah, the first snowboard. That's right. The first snowboard bindings. You literally as tight as you could push
the binding in, and then they had it crick like where you have it like where you could tighten.
Well,
it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's still a kind of a thing, but the boots. But hockey skates would be the other thing. I think a boa system would be good for.
Yeah. They might have them. I just don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway. Now you're going to look. You don't nah, need, it doesn't matter. It's not like an important.
This isn't that.
What's interesting to me is like having you here, how quickly we're going to start talking about flying?
Do you want to talk about flying?
What? Do you want to talk about flying?
I
am going to say something that I wanted to ask you in the pizza. We went to eat pizza before we went here. Mm-hmm. And this is a question for both of you. It's silly as hell, too. Okay. So I flew from San Francisco to Boston a couple of weeks ago. And then the same day, the same flight basically up from L.A., one of the passengers tried to kidnap the plane. Like, he was obviously...
On a different flight.
Hold on. The L.A. to Boston flight.
A different one you were... Wait.
So not the one I was on.
Okay, but the same...
But it was funny. It was the same day... And it was a similar time leaving, like, L.A. We left from San Francisco. Okay, so my flight.
You posted on social media. No, that could have been
I didn't
us.
Post it.
Okay.
No, I didn't. Okay, that was not at all the question. All
right.
The question came to be, like, this happened. And what he did is he threatened the flight attendant with a broken plastic knife or something. Like, he's going to stab her. And then he threatened he's going to open the door.
Which is impossible.
And crush, like, the whole plane.
Which is impossible.
It's fine. But you don't...
Which is impossible.
Slow down. Slow down there, big boy.
Oh, so this is what you're getting at.
No. Okay. Actually, what I'm getting at is then I asked my wife... You don't listen. I asked my wife the question is, how would you want me to... What would you want me to do when this happens?
Yeah.
Like, should I intervene?
Should I be a hero?
Should I shut up and just not care? And then, here's the interesting thing. After she told me what she told me, which I'll say in a second, because I want to hear your thoughts on what you would do, is I ask, on the way back, I asked the flight attendants what they would like to happen in that situation, and if they have any, like what would they told after this happened? So what do you think? Like, Nathan, would you actually jump and do something?
So are we talking like somebody has a broken plastic lunch knife like you'd get in your kid's lunchbox
kind of thing? Broke it, so you have like the handle.
So it's basically an ineffective weapon.
It's an ineffective stabbing weapon.
You know it's ineffective, right? Yes. And that
he's screaming. He's like, I'm going to crush all of you.
Well,
there's a video, by the way. But easy to find the video.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, okay.
So...
So there's a knowledge that this is an ineffective person that's deranged.
Well, hold on.
But he can open the door.
No, he can't open the door. So the first,
and we can't open the door.
No, we can't. We cannot open the door. So here's everybody needs to have a baseline understanding.
Wait, you cannot open the
The pressure, the pressurized cabin. It is impossible to open a door that once the cabin's been pressurized. It is impossible for anybody. To open up,
are you sure it does not? When you pull the lever, I think it's got like these little detonators that shoot the door out. Basically,
no,
really, I don't know. I've never tried to open the door.
I mean, it would be smart if you can't open the door at elevation.
Sure,
that'd be great.
Sure,
it would. But that's number one, right? So we have to know what our
actual
threat.
So it has to depressurize before you can open the door. It makes sense.
Hold on, but
you have a positive pressure inside the cabin,
yeah,
so it should be able to open the door easier.
But maybe there's some kind of mechanism that's latched.
The cabin pressure is far too strong for anyone to open them at a typical cruising altitude. Up to 8 pounds of pressure are pushing against every square inch of the interior fuselage. That's over 1,100 pounds against each square foot of the door.
So right. if the door needs to hinge inwards, then yes,
that's true, but it hinges out. Well, anyway, it says you cannot open the door.
No,
you can't. All right, you can't open the door. Right. I didn't know that. Knowing that now is good.
It's great.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I watch these videos, I will literally watch the three people in front, in the front row, right? Mm-hmm. That guy in that video. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. He's screaming. And like one guy's basically just got his head still down in like a book.
Yeah.
You know, like people, first off, when you're dealing with a non-stable person who's acting erratically, first off, everybody should be putting themselves in somewhat of a defensive position to at least protect themselves from, even if it's just hand strikes.
It's pretty bad how people don't care.
They do not, right.
It's amazing.
Because a lot of people are thinking, the attention's not on me, therefore it's on the attendant. So right now they're either holding their phones up to try to capture it, which is not a defensive posture.
Nope.
Because they want it for...
Wait, so before you
say... I'm going to watch him like I'm watching you right now.
I want Nathan to do it. Because if I know... I bet you your answer is going to be different than Nathan. Nathan,
good.
You're with your kids in a plane. Mm-hmm. Deranged person is deranging.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's getting up. Which most of the time, that's what happens.
If that guy gets close to my kids, no.
So
there's
would,
no way.
So
nope.
You would keep yourself down. You would not care that someone is getting
if
stabbed.
If he gets close to my kids...
Then you would...
Then he's down.
And then how would you...
Or I'm dead. One of the two. Yeah, but he's going to go down.
How do you... What do you think? So in your mind, quickly right now, try to figure out what would you do to bring someone down? Someone the size of Josh or a little smaller even.
Hey, he's got a plastic knife.
He's got a plastic.
It's broken.
It's got a broken plastic knife. But he's deranged. Like something's mm-hmm. wrong with him, right? Obviously, anyone who says that, something is wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he's violent, you know, acting and behaving. And so now he's
and
saying, I'm going to take
my
plane.
Size.
Well, the person said, I'm going to take this plane down, right? So he's actively saying, I'm going to try.
Is he actually doing anything or just talking about it?
I don't know. Come up with your scenario, but he's going to do something. So what is the thing you're going to do to protect your kids?
I mean, he's going to keep screaming or?
I don't know. Let's assuming he's doing. He's an attacker who's going to kidnap the plane and get into a building. What do
so
you do?
So I guess what I'm going to do I'm going to look to like three people next to me.
Yes.
And pick them out and say, hey. Let's go tackle him together. Let's bring him down.
Nice.
I'll go for the knees. You go for the shoulders. We'll just glom on and just drag him down like lions pulling down
it's
a
very difficult
impala.
Yeah,
very difficult. You know why it's difficult
no,
to do
no,
what
no,
you
I'm sure it's difficult because there's chairs around that can brace himself.
No. Hold on.
It's narrow.
That's logistical. But I'm saying it's also a space that is difficult, but at the same time they have the same difficulties in fighting you, right? So they're limited as well.
Like if you can get your arms wrapped around their legs, they're not going to go very far,
right?
Like
I wish that we were in a position where more people, if given that there's somebody, you know, that one individual can only be facing
one way.
And so like today when I put like a, you know, rear naked choke, that's a really difficult position for anybody to get out to properly applied.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's why the aircraft scenario is a little bit more difficult when it comes to the right thing to do, which is always to create space, right? Create distance. So in any situation like in the street, you're going to want to create distance, right? So if somebody unstable wielding a knife, sharp object.
Oh, this is a piece of plastic that's broken.
But you just walk away.
So
you try to create distance.
We're going with the assumption it's a piece of plastic that we talked about.
Joshua.
We did not say it was a knife.
And not that close.
An actual functional knife, right? So that changes things a lot.
Like that.
Yeah, thank you.
We usually have the fancy ones.
I know, but that's why it's like...
No, I know. And you don't... Whatever. Okay, sorry.
Well, because
so we're talking
at
about a real knife now, but we were talking about a piece of plastic that's broken.
Right.
So that's totally different scenario. So you, under this scenario, you asked me, this guy's got a piece of plastic that's broken, like a little lunch knife that you get into like a little pack of silver, like plasticware.
That's still a different scenario.
Sure. Yeah.
Can still
but
put an eye
it's
out?
Not an actual
in your
knife.
Neck. It will actually hurt.
Yes. Yeah. No. But like then you just said like
I think collectively
with a knife you want to create space. I'm like, well, this is a piece of plastic.
No, I know. Well, no.
And now
I'm saying in any situation you would normally. I'm saying normally you would try to create space in this circumstance.
You're
close.
Stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck with this guy. Mm-hmm. You don't know what else he's gonna do, or what else he has the capability of doing, right? because we're going to go to the old school, you know, use of force, right? So intent, capability, opportunity, right? He kind of has all of those things, right? In a way, he's an able-bodied human being.
Correct.
Right? He's showing that he's telling you his intention.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. He's showing you he's capable.
Mm-hmm.
And does he have the opportunity to actually open the door and do whatever? No, but that's not what everybody knows.
But he could potentially he might have another dream,
another vision. So
I mean, I guess you could talk that
collectively, I think in those circumstances, we need to operate as a team, and we should act fast, act harshly, and we should do whatever we can to minimize any further movement or action by mm-hmm. this person in that environment. Here out in the streets, walk away. Maybe call. Hopefully, call the cops because he's a public danger.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself.
Have
in
ever
that
happened
position.
To you?
Have you ever been plane?
To, no, yeah, well, in an airport or a plane, something like that?
Mm. No, I can't really think.
It happened to me.
No, it really didn't.
It happened to me.
You were the guy?
I was the guy who was attacked.
You were the guy that was attacked.
Well, I can tell you the story.
So I was
in San Francisco airport going to board the flight to Medford from Israel. I flew like 15 hours from Israel. I get to the airport like 8 a.m. and I get a banana, an apple, and tea.
Two apples and a banana?
Yep. One apple and a banana.
Right.
And I go to sit in next to the gate comfortably. So I put my tea on this little table, you know, the ones that you can work with your laptop.
Yeah.
I didn't have a laptop, but if I did, I could work on that table.
Sure.
And then as I put my tea down and the banana and the apple, I noticed in the side of my eye something that wasn't quite, did not look normal as you would think. And that thing looked to me for a millisecond like a very large gentleman, about 6'3", maybe 220 pounds.
Nice, yeah.
Choking and trying to look like going to break this very small lady's arm.
Oh.
And when I say choking, I mean like really going for it.
Okay.
And at that moment, you know, it takes you like, it's like half a second of seeing it and then half a second of realizing that's actually happened. And then my next thing was yelling at this gentleman, like
to stop
doing what he's doing.
How'd you do it?
I said, "What are you doing? Stop!" You know, like in a very
stern
way. I had and then that gentleman, young,
said, "Mind your fucking business."
Well, that gentleman, looked at me, stopped, left, let go. She fainted on the ground.
Oh, she did.
Fell.
She fell.
And
but her, did she? Was she out?
She was out. Yeah, he took the air from her completely.
Okay.
So by the time that I yelled, she was already
in an airport.
In like next to the gate.
Dude, wild shit happens in airports, and you
wild
think because you get
stuff.
Scared because you're like, man,
it's weird.
Because you always think federal offense if I do anything in an airport.
So and then awesome attention and his craziness was completely pointed at me.
Right.
Now he was looking to do that to me. And so I did what I've learned, what I was trained to do.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
And I just looked at him and walked backwards, start screaming, "Someone call the police. Someone call the police. I need help." So kept contact, eye contact as he's trying to get me and walking towards me like crazy, like cursing and screaming at me. And I'm like, help, help, someone help me. Again, we are in an airport. There's multiple gates, hundreds of people around me, and me, 5'7" when I'm stretched, yelling for help. Like, and please, someone call the police. I need help. And so what I'm doing is I'm walking backwards, trying to find a gate agent that will help me.
Left the banana in the apple.
Nope, banana is in my hand. And at that point, I can see that he is actually... So, this is like,
did you throw the banana
down to his feet
just to
just
see
kept,
if it would
kept
work
distance from him? And it was obviously he was under he's psychotic. And so my next thing was like, you look like you need to eat something is wrong with you. Like you're like, I could see that. So I offered him my banana,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to like calm him down, like we're in an airport. Or I'm not going to fight you.
I got a banana here.
I got a banana
here. Take the banana.
Please.
spare me, take the banana.
And so as I'm doing this, by the way, every like 5 seconds or so, I'm yelling, help, help, with someone, call the police, help.
Okay.
Again, I'm walking, like I'm now like 4 gates away.
Did at any point did both of you just stop and just look around and be like, how is nobody responding to this?
Well, no, that was, it, so that's what I'm trying to say is like how much people did not respond. Right. And so at some point I see someone in a gate. So I turn around. I'm probably like at all time, I'm keeping 6 foot away from him. So he can't just like throw a punch at me.
How long ago is this?
I can tell you exactly. It's 5 years ago. Pretty much exactly.
Not that long ago.
No, it's actually right before Idan was born. And at like 8 months, six months before Idan was born, my son. And then I, some point I see a gate agent. And so I turn around and start running towards them, where this guy starts running towards me and smacks me in the head.
Ooh.
And in doing that, he blows up my eardrum, punctures my eardrum. And at that point I was like, well, I can go and kill him now. Like he touched me. Now there's no paperwork. I just wanted to be home. I was like, I want to go home. I don't want to do anything. And then at that point, finally, like this was 2-something minutes after that. Like right when that happened, like maybe like 10 seconds later, the cops show up.
And arrest him?
Yeah. They actually tell him and he just stops. Like he's somehow like that authority stops him. But then in order to take him out, they actually had to bring an ambulance, and they took him out in a stretcher and tied him to the stretcher because he, you know, acted violently. His mom wakes up. He's like, oh, yeah.
That was his mom?
Yeah. So that's his mom. And she tells me like, yeah, this is not the first time. I couldn't give him his medication on the flight because we were flying from, you know, they flew from somewhere really far away. And he did this. This is the third time he did this to me. So, like, 19-year-old kid, psychotic breaks. Basically, because they were flying, he was all messed up on his medication. I'm like, broke her arm, by the way.
Put him down.
Broke her arm. Obviously,
he's got to go.
That's crazy. It was just crazy. But this is over. I have like a piece of, you know, people, the medics came in and like, oh, we take you to the hospital. I was like, no. He's like, you're bleeding from your ear. I was like, it's fine. It's a blown up eardrum. I'm going home. Like at that point, some Josh kind of person, 6'3"
and a half. Thanks.
Big guy.
230.
Comes to me and say, nice. You know, you did awesome. I studied jujitsu for 10 years and I would do this. So
you watched
thing.
The whole thing?
Don't associate. What?
He watched the whole thing.
And I literally
didn't come
looked
in.
At him. Exactly. I looked at him and I said, so why didn't you help me? Well, I wasn't sure what to do. 10 years of jujitsu could have helped you with that. I was crying for help, screaming, call the police. You saw this, did not help, didn't think that it should help me. And it was like, it just showed me how little people care. Like,
well, I
in
think
an airport,
also,
by
I
way, in a
also,
place where you think everything is settled.
Well, you also think.
You're through security and everything.
A lot of
like,
people,
oh, we're all good in here.
When a lot of people do not see the origination, they don't know the origin story of it.
Doesn't matter.
They don't know if you were, let's just say, we don't know if you were, you know, the regular person.
Come intervene. Ask the questions then.
Stand in the middle.
Right. Stand in the middle. In the middle. What's going on here?
Not my business,
great
baby.
Space.
Not my business.
Not my business.
I'm sorry to say this, but like those planes that were kidnapped in 9/11, I mean, that was the same story.
Hijacked
by like a knife the size of like freaking...
It's a box knife, right?
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough spot, right? Because there was a historical precedent. Precedent. President.
Precedent.
Precedent.
Thanks. That things could go horribly awry, right? Like, so most people hadn't experienced a thing where somebody could get a hold of the aircraft and take it down. So then it changed a little bit, and people were more aggressive, and then everybody was like, I would have if I was on the plane. And you're like, shut up.
That's the thing. All of them.
Right. But now that we know, let's just say, you know, even if people act like they were smart, they've always known. Now that we know that stuff can happen, we have to commit.
Well, and what do you do if somebody says
that
they have their box knife and they say, check it out, you all be still
everybody.
And it's going to be okay. And then they go and do something horrible.
Right.
Right. But they're saying, like, if you're all just chill, you just take it easy, it'll be okay.
I would, right? I would F his face up.
Sure.
Literally.
Well, right now.
But what I'm saying is like, retrospect, you're like, oh yeah, of course.
Like,
but
this would not happen. It didn't happen in El Al flight. It would not happen in Israeli flight.
Like, you might say somebody's got a box knife and they're saying it's going to be okay. And you're like, well, yeah, you got a box
knife. Let's just do some root cause analysis.
I've been on a flight to Israel. I've been on a flight to Israel where a guy got drunk and started causing like, oh, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And literally four guys, I was in the back. I couldn't even, four guys stood up and said, we recommend you to sit down before something really bad is going to happen to you. And the guy literally like was like, yeah, I'm going to sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this is not true. Like if you, like you said, stand up to the situation.
In that situation.
Multiple people, because that does give you, it gives you the power of people.
Right. Yeah, you need crowd the
power.
Mentality.
You need the power of
mob
people.
Mentality.
The mob, yep.
And in this case, positively.
You can't stab everyone.
No, correct. Well, I mean, no. there's multiple. So I thought of multiple things, but here's the interesting thing that I asked the stewardess on the flight back. What should we do when this happened? And they said straight up, we need your help. We're not trained for this.
Right.
We don't know what to do.
They're the same.
And they were like, we need the passengers' help. And I said, how much paperwork do you have to fill up afterwards? And they're like, we don't know. Because I was like, the first thing I thought about.
You go into legal brain, huh?
No, I go into like ruined 2 days brain. Like you're flying, you're tired, you're landing. Now you got to deal with a body.
Right.
And you made that body happen. And it's got to be potentially. Because here's the option that I thought about. Like if I have the ability and the time, you can just attack and then quickly like drop him down. Option number one. Option number two, if he's attacking someone physically, you come behind him with probably a belt and just wrap it around his neck.
Belt? No.
And it's very easy.
Rear naked choke.
What?
Rear naked choke all day long. Standing.
But
I mean,
okay,
my size.
I'm 5'7". I'm limited to grabbing people like that. Plus,
that's my privilege.
I'm also 160 pounds. Like most people are bigger than me. And I got to make sure that I'm not going to get it like turned back on me. So grabbing someone with a belt.
Strength and numbers.
On their neck.
You just need to go for numbers. You need the commitment from people.
But you need commitment.
Like,
that's the other thing.
People
are not
being
committed.
Like, let's take them and then, yeah, exactly.
That's the other thing. When you engage, engagement is all, and that's the thing, what I've learned, when you engage, the engagement is all out. There is no half engagement. There's no.
Yeah, no, you have to commit to your actions.
Yes.
And you have to get crazy. But then you also, this is what's also crazy, you still, at the moment that you're defending yourself, like, yeah, you can defend yourself, but then you have to be able to articulate
why you used the force.
Because even though you're in defense,
it's weird.
It's very weird.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. And so, that's why a lot of people just want to back out of it, because they're like,
the paperwork.
Yeah, it's the paperwork.
So, you know, that's what Aaron told me. She said, it's what you said, Nathan. She said, I don't want you to do anything. Thank you for asking me, because you have a tendency to get up and do these things. And then she said,
tendency.
What?
No, good.
It's, dude, in Germany, I helped someone on the plane on the flight. Like, someone fainted in the middle of the flight. Nobody.
Did you beat him up?
No, I picked him out of there. Nobody could pick him up. He got stuck between the seats. He fell between the middle seats and got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Big boy. And so we did that, and then we had to kind of.
So you're not a good person to fly with. You're like a bad charm.
Bad charm.
I guess it depends. If you're a bad person, you're probably not a good person to fly with.
I was helping.
If you're a good person, you got fainted between the two chairs, and he's a good person.
No. Just things happen to him.
Oh, you're saying bad luck charm. Gotcha.
I don't know.
I'm actually glad we were, Gilad, I don't know if we've ever talked to you about this. We were supposed to ride in a private jet together. So now.
No, don't do that.
And you backed out.
Hold on. No. With given. No. I'm just saying. Given all the things that you're talking about, I'm actually happy that we didn't ever have to be on that flight together.
I also been on a crash.
Private jets.
I also been on a
private.
Private.
Private
flying
jets.
Flying
private. Have you ever flown private?
Millionaire, yes.
Oh.
Sterling, actually.
Oh, really?
Sterling was my private
the
jet.
The real, he seems like. He's got
three private jets. Three jets.
Stop. Hey, he might not want you airing all this.
Oh, I think they know. It's the company.
I don't want to. Listen.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, man. I'm just being respectful here.
Well, anyway.
Anytime people have stuff like that, I always think cocaine and human trafficking, okay? You might have been trafficked.
Could be.
So.
But I was trafficked with breakfast.
Low. Yeah.
In a red carpet.
Right. Anyway. All right, so the takeaway of this is if you're in a plane, be a hero.
With Gilad, do not get off the plane.
If you're not in a plane, don't be a hero.
Yeah. I think the thing about this is like, God, people could help each other. It's so much easier doing stuff as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just...
Community,
but... Don't stand on the side and say, I could have done this. I studied jiu-jitsu for 10 years and I would do this. I'm like, give me a break. Like, come in. And then if you come in, two more people probably would join you at that point. And then the situation usually gets solved. But it wasn't that way. Anyway.
Have you ever been in a fight in this town?
No, I haven't fought anyone basically
this
since...
This here town...
No.
What about you?
Nope.
Why would you fight? Did you
fight
someone?
Have you seen a fight? I haven't fought anybody in this town. Not in this town.
What is like? This town is a good town for fighting, you think, or a bad town for fighting? What would you consider this town for fighting?
What do you mean?
Like, is it actually going to be good?
No, I'm not. I don't think any fighting's good. I abhor it. I'm like a Quaker. I abhor violence.
Quakers are anti-violent? What's happened?
They abhor it.
Abhor it? What does it mean, abhor? What do you abhor it? What does that mean?
Abhor.
A-B. All right, I've never heard that word. Yeah. Say me what it means.
It's like...
Use it in a sentence.
Quakers abhor violence.
Yeah,
Abhor is
anti. But to your core, like so deeply to your core.
So if someone punches you,
fundamentally, they are against violence. They would not engage in a violent act back.
Yeah, they would probably...
like me.
Hurt themselves somehow before they would, or they would allow themselves to be hurt badly before they would try to take a hand up against somebody else.
Yeah, I don't even know if they. I mean, I'm not sure.
I like them.
Never so they're fought a Quaker.
Peaceful people. Yeah,
and they live very simple lifestyles. No technology.
Oh, so they're semi-Amish.
Yeah. Actually, I misspoke. Sorry, I took it a little bit far.
Wait, there's Amish, and then there's the other people that have the fabric thing on their head. What they're called? Like, there's another level of...
People wear fabric hats. Yeah.
No, there's women wearing, like, these dresses, and then they have, like, this...
Well, there's the apostolic
Christians. You might be thinking Amish.
No, not Amish. There's another
one. The Bunners. The apostolic Christians.
No.
They're called Bunners. They wear a thing. They chain smoke.
Really, we got to be, specific, because hats,
They chain smoke. You're wearing a piece of fabric.
I'm wearing a piece of fabric. You are, too.
Yeah, but mine
is not a religious piece of fabric.
Well,
it's not eaten. I don't know. Somebody might think it's like that's a baseball hat you got over there, right? Or
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
That's quasi-religious is to it? Some people. Baseball?
Oh. No, this isn't a baseball. Filson?
I know. That's not. No, hat. Sorry.
This is a
but
brand.
I'm just saying like it's baseball cap style thing.
I'm a brand whore, bud.
What's a Filson?
It's an outdoor company.
Cool.
I think it started hunting.
Cool.
I don't know most of the stuff. It was expensive. It was one of the most expensive stores that I've ever.
You bought a baseball hat that looks like a $10 hat.
No,
for
I bought
expensive
a jacket. No, I bought a jacket, a couple shirts, and a hat, and it was the most money I've spent in a single retail establishment. And I don't feel good about it.
I bet it wasn't an $800 T-shirt.
It was. It was not a no, but the jacket was. It
He's
was
making
really
fun
expensive.
Of my. I took my daughter to New York for like really high fashion.
The
places.
Recent trip.
Yeah. Okay. Just for to buy, but just to like see what it is.
T-shirts.
And so he was trying out stuff, and it was like thousands of dollars, like $800 T-shirts and $2,000 jackets or whatever. It's
just
a lot.
Love wasting those people's time, huh?
They're doing nothing. They're like seriously, they were in the store. There's like four of them, and all they were doing, they were like using like this, like looked like a comb that steam comes out of it on all the clothes, like just one by one.
Speaking of street violence,
and they all looked great.
You know who I saw? Wait,
they all look good.
This has been like this is the violence episode.
This was the violence. God,
apparently.
You're
apparently.
No, I saw that. What's his name?
Who? Violent? How violent? And what's his name? Come to one word. Stop. And then you say never saw
see?
Fighting.
Who did we see? I told you.
Violent.
Oh God, he shot
Trump.
No, he shot the woman on
what?
In on the movie set. Why am I?
Oh, you saw?
Yeah.
Oh,
like 2 feet away. Yeah. Yeah.
Why is he? You saw him in New York, not here.
No, in New York. Yeah, New York City.
The guy who accidentally shot the director.
Not Randy Quaid.
Like a couple of months ago. Like 6 months ago, maybe.
He's got a bunch of. He's like five of them.
He plays Trump, actually. He's the guy who does Trump at SNL.
Yeah.
This
is so crazy.
So horrible.
Hold on. It's.
Oh. You know the name, Nathan. You just.
I don't.
You would. Once
is it Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No, not Spacey. Kevin Spacey.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No.
No.
He's dead.
Oh.
He's dead.
Right. You don't watch you don't watch TV at all.
I don't.
Huh? At all.
Yeah, no, I don't.
At all.
These are those moments where if I was listening, I'd be like, you
have to. You idiot. To yourself. Yeah, you have to do this. Yeah.
Can you find it?
Yeah.
Dead air because he's looking something up.
I know.
Demi Moore.
It's come on.
What are we going to call this episode?
Gilad? I don't know. Kidnap and
because there's not been a single thing about bikes in it.
Shoes. Alec not Baldwin. Alec Baldwin. Thank you.
I mean, Boa is not about bikes.
No, but it's bike related.
Well, we're going to let's talk about bikes.
But we talked about with running shoes, not even bike shoes.
Alec Baldwin. He didn't look good.
No.
His wife, though, looked pretty good. It was just them. But that's what's crazy about New York City, right? Like,
they live there?
Well, yeah, but it's weird because you think here's a person that's has a lot of heat on him right now, you know, because of this incident, and there's no security.
Wait, you saw him after the incident?
Like, dude, this was like a month ago or whatever.
You were in New York a month ago?
2 months ago.
Oh, 2 months ago. Yeah, right.
Yeah, after the incident. Just out buying bananas and apples or whatever.
And t-shirts.
A banana t-shirts. And an apple.
No kit. But I was just like, man, that's a very vulnerable situation. Of course they have to live places too, but you're just thinking, man, you're just under a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on with you, bud, and you're just out walking.
What do you want
the streets.
Him to not to eat anymore? Not walking
no,
the streets?
No, but I'm just like you're I would probably
he accidentally killed someone. You think it was on purpose?
I don't think it was on purpose, but there was a lot of negligence.
There's a lot but I don't think it's from him. Someone gave him a prop gun with obviously it's supposed to not have bullets in it.
Yeah, no, I get that.
How the hell a box with real bullets get the they were shooting bullet?
Because they were doing
and
a lot of
and he was supposed to aim it at the director at some point in time?
Yeah, the director is behind the camera. And so he's aiming at the camera, a gun that's loaded with an actual bullet instead of a demi, and shoots and hits.
This has been something that's like we're not gonna pioneer any new thought
that's
on
like
this.
A 50 year old plot scenario from a movie, I'm pretty sure, at least.
So
switching out the guns, yeah, like that whole thing, right, and then right. Oops,
yep,
the, accidents happen.
And then Bruce Lee's kid, that's how he died.
Yeah,
the crow. Speaking of crows,
Brandon Lee.
Let's get to bikes.
All right, I got something.
Have
you got something?
Oh, good.
But no.
So, well, let's start with the basics. I'll go at the beginning of this episode. Trails here are starting to get better, but winter is like loving not to leave, which kind of sucks.
He
said that like such a weatherman, like weather.
Well, winter doesn't want to leave. So a lot of people listen to us from like one of the reason why this
Punks
this started.
Phil.
A lot of people
this,
listen.
This podcast started because we wanted to bring people to the shop, but really to the town.
And I think it's because you wanted to talk a bunch.
And because I wanted to talk a bunch. Which I don't do at all. Like, I don't get to talk at all during the day. I just sit there quietly in a room with a gag in my mouth.
As much as I don't want to talk.
Yeah. We usually give like a little bit like, hey, come over right now. It's a good time to come and ride. And anyway, right
to
now
who?
It's to whoever
whoever's listening.
The three people listen.
The listeners, the audience.
So every episode usually has about between 2,000 and 10,000 people listening.
For real?
For yeah. Real.
That's
yeah.
Actually a lot.
Yeah. Is it? I don't know.
So my Instagram is at JPDX, so everybody...
That's fine. You can say whatever. It's
follow
join
me.
Up.
Follow me. Give fine. Me attention.
Yeah. The weather.
Josh Dean, JPDX.
Weather report.
Yeah.
Trails.
I can tell
that's
you
pretty good. 10,000,
like total. Yeah, like
but
so.
That's when you have like a. That's when you have a notable, probably a notable.
Well, actually, our
something.
Most notable person is John Slotta.
Landshark.
When I say 10,000, that's also over time. Sweet. So like every week, like more people listen to more episodes,
right.
Like some back episodes, not just the new ones, and so it's like it gets to that point. It's anyway.
That's pretty good.
Is it? I don't know. It's not. How about this? It's not even
if
enough.
If you put 10,000 people in
sure.
The same space
yes.
Together, you'd be like, wow. That's how I like to look at it.
But
like,
okay,
even
that's
if
almost
you have
half
an,
of
even
Ashland.
If you have an audience mm-hmm. of 10, when you, okay, how about this? Take 50 people. Put 50 people in a room listening to you. It's a lot of people.
How big is the room?
True.
Big enough for 50 people.
Yeah, but if it's in a big stadium,
like this room,
it
feel like
good.
A lot.
Yeah, but in a stadium, it feels like nothing.
Pacho Lee. No, but yeah,
this is all proportional.
Yeah.
Like we're
no
a lot of proportional
yeah,
stuff. This
all,
episode,
yeah, in a stadium,
people in New York doesn't feel like
no,
proportion.
No,
violence.
Stop. I'm saying that
let's kill him.
Can you say, I'm trying to give you a compliment. That's okay. A lot of people.
Thank you.
So yeah, are you putting up? Yeah, no, that's so, 10,000 people.
Can I say something?
10,000 people.
That's so all of that, and yet we're not even in the ranking where they start putting commercials on our thing.
Well, yeah, it takes so long to monetize.
No, they're like, yeah, you don't have enough. Like basically, we need 1,500 listening per episode right away, like within a week for them to start putting.
But you also never. Commercial. I've noticed that
we don't have that.
Well, no, but you also don't. You don't push anybody to listen. You don't.
I don't advertise it.
You don't even post when a new one's out.
That's a problem.
We did once.
We did
once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
But you have to keep doing it.
We have not been. Yes. So you're saying we should be consistent?
Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. But that takes work.
That's a good thing.
Even if they don't want to listen to this one, put my name on. They'll be like, oh, skip it.
You advertise it.
I'm not. Why would I? See, here's the thing.
Tell your listeners. There's 13,000.
Yeah, because
who follow
I have so many people interested in mountain biking.
You could just about double. About bikes. You could just about double us.
Yeah, but you have bikes.
Hey, listen.
Talked at
15 goes
you,
plus 13.
Listen,
kidnapping.
You
a plane.
Show me some initiative to advertise for your own podcast, and then I might think about advertising on mine.
I don't know what's happened here.
I don't know either.
Doesn't
well,
matter.
You have to be consistent. You want this thing to grow.
Why? What's going to happen?
We should just accept that we're not going to talk about bikes at all on this episode.
Yeah. So no, we
and
can't.
That's fine. Let's it's fine. We don't we have to. No,
so I want to say something. Like the problem with our podcast for growing the way you're describing is sometime when we do talk about bikes, we go so deep into some like tiny pinhole.
That's awesome.
But that is probably not great for most listeners.
No, there's a few people it appeals to
like,
greatly.
This
but most
is great.
People are like,
this is advertisable. This conversation is probably good.
Really? So I'm more like, I'm the other way. I'm like, this is me coming out filler. You guys talking about bike stuff is, that's probably.
It's too geeky. Like, we're not so. We go really weird deeply into things.
That's cool, though.
Well, yeah, for like 2,000 people.
That's amazing.
That's it.
That's really
not
good.
Enough for advertising or making money or growing.
Right, well, but you have to advertise it anyway.
Well, I see.
We maybe, have to
you're right.
It.
You're right. Not okay. Like, no, yeah. We could.
You have to advertise.
And the quality is better now. Like actually, our conversation sounds cohesive. There's no dead moments. Like we know how to run this. Like,
and
our,
no editing.
No
believe
editing.
It or not, folks. Yeah. No editing here.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So it's so much better than our like original episodes where it was for me cringy to listen to it a bit. But it's now. I mean, the last 20 of them, 25, whatever, have you been like really.
I haven't listened to a single one.
I know that.
I can't listen to any of them because I don't like my voice.
I don't like mine either.
It's fine. Okay. Doesn't matter. Let's talk about small bikes.
That's right. For somebody
just
who likes their
can
voice.
Can you just talk about some bike
I don't
stuff,
like my
please.
Voice. I don't listen to
really?
My voice. I don't listen to it either.
Can you please, hey, what? Vlad, can you stop? Can you just talk about bike stuff, please?
Yes.
I'm getting a little annoyed by it. This is a bike podcast. You guys never talk about bikes.
You just said bikes
you guys
four
know,
times.
I was not complaining when I said that earlier. Seriously.
Of what?
This not talking about bikes at all, this one.
Oh.
No complaints. That was not an actual complaint. I was just saying, like, we should be real about this. We should commit to this path. This particular episode is probably not about bikes.
No, we can do bike stuff in it.
Say one thing about bikes. So
I'm
going to
say one thing about
podcast.
Bikes. Can we do
one
that?
One thing.
All right, no.
Bikes.
Shh. All right, here we go. SRAM just came out with a new system.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it each.
It's a revised version of a system they've been with.
I'm going to say it. Ready? Let's see if I can say it without mistake.
No, don't even try.
SRAM AXS. SRAM AXS XXSL. That's the one we got at the
That's
shop.
That's the one we got at the shop.
That sounds dirty.
Well, it sounds
a
like
a lot of X's
like
there.
A mouthful. And they did a cool thing. They sent us a box that was like locked with like
some
Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Whose phone is that?
Mine.
Turn it off.
I'm turning it off.
Mine's not making the noise.
No, it's my phone's
key logs.
Calling me. So
Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark style in the big warehouse box.
Yeah. So they spent a lot on the box
and
and marketing.
Yep.
And they passed that on to the customer because it is a quite expensive system.
Wait.
Is it the most expensive system that is currently in the retail market? Go.
For amount, it's got to be.
Wait,
for
amount. How much is XDR DI2?
I don't even know. I don't know.
The cable.
I don't know. At retail, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. With the wires and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. But $2,200.
For just?
for a derailleur, couple cassette, shifters. Chain, shifter, and crank set.
Yep.
So it's a full drivetrain.
Right.
Yeah. You got to get the bottom bracket because that's unique to your bike, basically.
So.
But yeah.
That sounds expensive.
Lots of interesting things.
So they spent a lot of money on the marketing and the boxing.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job, actually. They sent it over. Like what they did.
It's a good buzz.
Yeah, it's good buzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fun. It had a little wax seal over the screws, so you couldn't, like, you know, you had to break the seal on it and dig in there.
That's kind of cool. For somebody spending that kind of money, that's what I would expect.
No, but not all of them are going to come like that. It's just that one.
Oh.
And it was the number. First. Like, when we opened it, there was, like, a certificate. It says, like, number one, whatever, 20.
Yeah, so everybody else just has to get in box, like,
you
a
just get it. It's freaking, they want to sell as many as they can. It's not like a, that box is stupid. It's too big.
So they sent it to you, promotional.
Yes, well, it was, like, promoting this. They wanted us.
Is it a good system?
Oh yeah, you're right. We bought it.
We had the opportunity to buy
to spend
in,
money on
to
it.
Spend money.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one of the last kits we got to sell people. Lucky. So do you want one?
You're so lucky.
Oh yeah.
That's really cool. You guys. We were lucky. You spent extra money to.
Well, what we did, we get
representing
to rep. Yeah.
So,
but
is it a good
we
system?
Are dorks like that. We do like having the coolest, newest stuff out there.
Yeah.
Like it is like selling candy to kids, basically.
Really fun. You know. So we actually had a little like shindig. We had people
an
coming
unboxing
in.
Unboxing party.
Did you have a party?
Kind of, yeah.
A party.
Yeah,
just this
gathering.
A gathering. What's funny is like everyone, we said 5:30 and like 5.
I know. You're trying to like launch us for a big slam dunk and we're not taking advantage of it.
5:29, someone calls
me. I get it.
And wants to buy a bike.
Yeah.
And you like.
We're supposed to do our unboxing at 5:30.
And then everyone is waiting. Like people got there like 40 minutes ahead of time. And then I'm like a minute before that someone calls in and like starts talking to me about buying a really expensive bike. So you can't let go. I can't leave him. I can't say, hey, dude, I'm not going to sell you this bike.
Can I wait? Can I wait? I'll call you back in 10 minutes to take.
Well, that's why I said after a while,
seriously, be like, listen, we're doing this really cool thing for a bunch of people.
I know.
I'll call you back.
Well it's why I start now, Adam.
Yeah.
Good.
They started with that.
Good.
Anyway, we pull this stuff out.
He made a bad choice.
They were getting restless. The folks there, like, they were getting to leave in, like, 2 minutes.
But the thing is Galad made everybody listen to him selling this.
No, he was in the office. He was tough.
It's too noisy.
I kept making excuses. Like, oh, no, he's
being fun of me. You guys are just on one tonight, today.
No, you're on, like...
You guys are
attack me.
Man,
he's attacking me.
Our last
Let's
was pretty
group
chill,
up
wasn't
on
it?
Him. He's attacking me, Nathan. Let's group up
okay,
and get him.
On. Let's take him down.
Try it.
I'll go for the knees.
This. Try both.
You go for the jugulars.
All right.
Well, he's already sitting down, though. So
you.
Easy. We can take him down.
So you. All right. So listen.
Yeah.
So you did
I'm
this,
listening.
You did this unboxing.
I'm listening.
And was it really. Was it. Did everybody. How'd that go?
Well. Everyone already saw it, obviously, because it was at 7
not
a.m.
Person,
you could
but
do
it. Like, yeah, you could
you
see
could
it
see
on,
videos
online,
but
realize all the seal
it was
tech about
it,
and all the
yeah,
mm-hmm. all the aspects, but all the features and benefits of it.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
And it was.
Did you have it all charged up where you could?
No, we didn't. Oh, it was charged in the box, but it wasn't. We didn't open the box, so we couldn't charge it up.
Well, you didn't open the box during the unboxing.
No, and yeah,
before the unboxing to pre-charge the battery, we couldn't do that.
Got it.
So we had those wax. Remember the wax seals? Yeah. We're talking about the wax
seals.
Well,
that's
seal
still cool.
Them,
you did so. That.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But then the system. What's interesting about it is that it's the first system that requires no adjustment. It's the first time there's no screws to adjust the derailleur. There's no B tension or
it
limit
knows.
Screws.
Just bolt it on and go.
Bolt on and go. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It just knows. So
you have to pair the system. That's one thing you have to do. Right. So you basically push a button on the derailleur until it flashes green. Then you push the shifter button until it flashes green. Then you push the derailleur button again, and it pairs up.
And the chain has to be in a certain position.
Nope.
For the first one.
Nope.
It knows.
It off the bike. We already paired it up.
It knows.
You can shift. Yeah, you can shift it on the. Remember you did it. Shift it just with the shifter on the derailleur sitting on the end of the counter.
It knows its limits, right? So it's either it's shifting.
It knows its limits because it knows every piece of the system is pre-built. Like. Because it uses the UDH derailleur hanger or not hanger system, that's a quantified number. Like it you don't have to deal with different bike manufacturers with different width of derailleur hangers. So the derailleur always lives in the same place when it bolts to the bike, and then you know how wide the cassette is. And
so this is the beginning of the end for bike tuning.
No, not really.
Not like, hold on.
Yeah.
Not the truing wheels and stuff, but it's, but yeah, you just told me it knows.
Well, so the thing is, like, it's $2,200 just for the parts. So this is coming equipped on bikes that are $10,000 and $8,000
plus. XO is less. It's like $9,000.
Yeah. When will brakes start working Never. Bluetooth to communicate Never. With a electric with a
brakes will never become electric.
Ever. You mean wireless brakes?
Mm-hmm. Never.
No, not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen. Not in our lifetime.
You guys say it now.
No, just no, remember, not in our
this
lifetime.
Is recorded.
Not in our lifetime.
It's a little scratchy.
I mean, unless some new source of energy is gonna be applied, not in our lifetime. Like it's just it's
what are you talking
not gonna
about?
Happen.
Why?
Because the battery to run something like that, like how big would the battery have to be to power a brake caliper?
Listen.
You have to charge your battery. If your battery dies during a ride, what happens?
This is for the
folks in Washington. Is anybody going
to
risk that?
To figure out.
Nobody's going to risk that. No company's going to risk if your battery dies, your brakes also die at random places on the trail.
To be fair, hydraulic system.
Hold on. That's the only thing.
No, not really. Hydraulic system is actually really.
You don't know nothing about the law. Stop. Listen, that's the. Here's the deal.
We got an expert here, folks.
How about this? Listen. How about this? No, I know a way of figuring this. I know a way to do this from a liability perspective is that once the battery gets under, let's say, 3%, it slowly starts to squeeze on the caliper and then it discharges in a locked position.
And it leaves you 20 miles away in the wilderness.
That's not our problem.
To die from exposure.
Yep.
Because you couldn't even push your bike out or coast it down the hills.
No, you could manually then do it without brakes. So you could click it, you know, like once you're off the bike.
Uh-huh.
But that's not their...
And then the company says, oh, now you can ride with no brakes the whole rest of the way.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and...
I don't see this happening. No,
can I intervene, please?
Hello?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Cars do have that. Modern cars, have brake by wire, which means the brakes are not connected to your pedal.
Hey.
Right. But
so come at me.
No, slow down.
We're talking. Wait, let me keep on talking.
Fucking shit on my idea.
The other thing, the difference with cars is because of safety systems and crumple zones, excuse me, by having wire, the brakes by wire, you don't have the big pump that then requires, like, it's for crumpling is better. And the other thing about it, as cars become more, I'm not going to call it autonomous, but as they're more, it's called ADAS system, assistance driving systems, the computer can regulate stuff like braking that way. So, for instance, like, don't hit the car in front of you, stop a pedestrian jumping.
So, tell me why this won't work with bikes.
You have to have a power source.
You have a power source.
What is it?
It's in the it's down in the caliper itself. Wait. So the battery is actuating the hydraulic.
The other question, but what I'm trying to say this about car is like, what are you improving? So like Sam, one of our guys yesterday said to me like, I can't wait for someone to invent not the chain, and I was like, okay, but that not invention, the chain, is the most efficient way to transfer power, and that's why it's there,
right?
So yeah, it will make you dirty and you gotta lube it and replace it once in a while. But at the end of it, it is the most efficient thing that we know of. So again, what are you improving by having electric brakes?
To me, it's not about improving. You guys have both seen a lot of things that have come along in the industry that never improved anything, but it was either a trend.
Like the new shifter on the AXX.
Right. Or they tried it or they did something. Nobody said anything that this was going to make it better. This is just innovation in the industry. Will they try it?
Sure, I bet you they're already designing something that works with electric bikes that has electric brakes.
Right.
Like, because if you have a cable and a battery source like the electric brakes, you can put a servo. Because they did make, like, back in when between full hydraulic brakes and mechanical brakes, there was a point where there was hydraulic mechanical brakes. Remember that, Nathan?
They still exist. You can
just
have a
cable
disc brakes
to
do that, right?
Caliper, yeah.
So basically, the caliper is hydraulic. With a hydraulic lever, but then there's a cable running to it.
Yeah, that's a lot of bikes still did it. Like,
so you could put a servo there. You could put a servo there.
Yeah,
and then have that. But then what you need to have also is you have to have some sort of a sensor, a potentiometer. I don't know. Okay, my words help me.
Potentiometer.
Yeah, to then be
maximize your full
No, so like the feel, like the way that we get resistance back from the break is hugely important when you
see, that would be that would be the bigger argument for why you wouldn't, because the you need the feedback.
Yes. And go ahead, Nathan.
It's the power source thing. Like, do you realize how much power you put into the brake lever to when you squeeze it to apply the brakes?
That could generate the power for the signal.
So the battery, if you have a truly wireless system, then each caliper has to have a battery. The battery is going to be really heavy to power it for a single ride.
But again, you can see how e-bikes could potentially have that.
Sure, but you still have a wire that goes from the battery on the e-bike, main battery, back to the
Bluetooth.
So the battery power. This is not Tesla, like Bluetooth. Nikola Tesla. Hey. We don't have like wireless transmission of power.
Bluetooth,
right?
Bluetooth is a signal.
What happens when the entire handlebar is a lithium battery inside?
Heavy, up very
hey,
high.
Hey,
that's what happens.
Hey, stop.
Heaviness.
Hey, stop. Stop shitting on everything I
would it keep
dream
my
of.
Hands warm? I would buy it if it kept my hands that's, warm. I'd go for it. For
you're sure innovating though. Right now for free. You're not even getting paid for this right now. You guys bark my words. Wait, when it comes to an e-bike, we're not just talking about light bikes.
So
we're talking
do you
about
run a wire from the e-bike battery up the down tube, down the fork leg to the caliper?
And then
if the whole point of this is to get rid of housings that go from the handlebar, if this is the whole point, then you're running a wire from the battery in the down tube up to the head tube, down. Hey,
the answer
so
is
you
Bluetooth.
Can't transmit power through the air. You can send a signal through the air, but not the power.
Listen. I get what you're saying.
Unless you ask Nikola Tesla,
you have another
seat
really close.
I got an idea.
Really close minded.
You take another seat.
That's your...
I'm and when talking. You press the brake, some other guy sitting behind you is actually pressing the brake for you.
No, I got
you
get it.
Like a
I
ride
got it.
Buddy that squeezes the brake for you.
And then that's wireless.
We find a way.
Yeah.
So the bike, what is it? We find a way for the entire bike to be...
wireless.
No.
Wireless chain.
No. Listen.
Can I have a hover bike? I'll take a hover bike.
Hold on. Well, we're getting there.
No need brakes in the first place.
No, listen. We'll find a way for the entire bike to be the circuit. Right, to be live, but protected.
Uh-huh.
You can touch it.
If we can create this thing, we're gonna sell it to the military or somebody for big money, more than the
business.
As long as the materials
like anti-gravity technology we're talking about.
But as long as the materials are conductive, you don't need wires. As long as the materials are safe, but yet can conduct the right energy throughout any part on the bike, right? So even if the battery source is in the down tube, as long as it's conductive throughout the entire system, right? They're touching
I see what he's saying. I like what he's saying. He's just on crack, maybe, or heroin. I don't know what he's doing to think about that.
Well, yeah. If we're talking suspension forks, it's not going to travel through the bushings in there.
Yeah, but
there's a micro gap between all those pieces, also insulated by oil in that gap,
right?
And rubber parts.
But but the suspension can have its own thing. As they do now. Hey, how many electric suspension units are out there? ProFlex used to make it. We talked about this.
Yeah, that's a different thing, though.
No, it's not.
Nathan looks... I want to give... So you guys can't see this, but Nathan looks at me, and he's like, what am I doing with this? I think we attack him. Both of us get up.
Yeah, let's beat
take
him
off
up until he agrees that it can be a thing.
Like, we'd be a group. Let's group up on him, Nathan. So, okay, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that probably at some point we will see, for whatever reason, someone's going to make a stupid thing, which is an electric brake.
Right. We didn't say that it was we didn't say it was good.
No.
We didn't say it was the best way to do things.
Correct.
But like, if we were really thinking about it, this
we're
this,
not
this
though. But
gimmick,
if we were, yeah,
hold on,
you
this
can be happy.
This gimmick
can happen.
The thing that you guys just did the unboxing.
Yeah.
We don't know. Has it been on the market enough through enough rigorous, you know, everyday use by riders on the hill to see if it's going to be a viable piece of the future for cycling?
Test riders? I can say from the product development standpoint on anything, like, yeah, if a company comes to market with something like that, they've got a lot of test riders who have signed off on it.
Yeah, but...
And put miles and miles and miles in test lab scenarios.
I'm talking about I want to talk about the Ashland rider. Do you think this is the new thing that's going to stick around?
By definition, it is the new thing because it's new.
I mean,
second of all, it is the way the industry is
going.
You
guys already didn't like the shifter.
But to be clear, this is actually just a renovation of an existing technology. They've had the same. This is just a it's fancier version of what they've had out for quite a number of years.
It's
not fancy,
just an improvement of. It's the next evolution.
It's just an evolution of the thing. So they already had wireless shifting, right? They already had this 1052 tooth cassette that's 12 speed, so that's the same thing. So it's just revisions to the teeth shape on there, to the cassette manufacturing style. It's revisions to the chain. It's a revised derailleur hanger,
revised
or the way that the mount the derailleur mounts to the frame is revised.
Your biggest beef is the shifter.
The shifter is a revised version of the previous shifters before, and I can go off on a whole thing about electronic shifters for mountain bikes, but I won't.
Okay.
You should.
We don't. We spent too much time with the other stuff.
So you think the kidnapping a plane took too much time?
You keep saying kidnapping a plane. It's driving me crazy.
Hijacking. What's the difference? Is there a difference between kidnapping and hijacking? Well,
kidnapping is technically
a human
taking a child.
Child or
that's person. Not yours and taking them somewhere.
Oh. Or yours and you weren't supposed to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Actually, that's most of the kidnaps.
Right.
Is actually parents who take kids without
without authorization.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Permissions.
Yeah.
Field trip signed. Right. No field trip slip signed.
Yeah.
Shifters. All right. They're just. My gripe is that there is nothing wrong with a mechanical mountain bike shifter right now. That they are evolved to basically
shape
perfection for ergonomics, and shape and lever travel paths. The where the levers are at. It's just about perfect the way they are, and there's not a need at all to change that just because there's now a wireless signal being sent to the derailleur. Like, there's nothing wrong with the ergonomics of an existing mountain bike shift lever.
Like, the feel of it, where it's located,
where the paddles are,
engages with it.
Yeah, exactly.
The tactileness of it, by the way.
Like, having to push it an inch to get a shift? No, that doesn't need to happen anymore. But physically, where the shift paddle sits related to the other one is just perfect. It's fine.
Yeah. Perfection. Correct.
It's evolved under all of us for the last 25-30 years to be where it is because that's what made the most sense.
Yes.
And every time a company comes out with a digital version of a shifter, they have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, and I just don't understand it.
Yeah,
that's my gripe.
Yeah, and it makes it harder. I mean,
you got to relearn how to shift, which the whole point of this thing, is to make a faster, easier, more intuitive shift. And then you take a shift lever and you make it different.
You know what?
And you have to relearn how to shift.
I can already tell that what's going to happen is shops are going to tell people buy the old shifter with this system because it's better. It's better. It is not a good solution, but it's better.
And here's the next thing.
And then they're going to be like, oh yeah, it's a bad shifter. Here's a new one.
If you took me out of the equation, any of us sitting in this room, if you took us out of the equation and said, here's a brand new rider, they've never ridden a mountain bike before in their lives, they would be completely fine
with no way
any of these shifters.
You think?
Yeah, I think they would.
They don't have a
preference already set in place. It's just riders like me who've been around.
Baloney. If I give you a triangle handle on a screwdriver and said, there you go, here's your first screwdriver, the first thing you're going to say, this feels really
is
weird.
Is this the right end to hold?
Yeah, why is it not round? Aren't you spinning
it? When do you think clipless pedals become
wireless?
Magnets.
They already have
magnets, but I'm talking about a magnet, a charge that actually, like a charged magnet, where they literally have.
It's a magnet on the pedal, and you have a plate
on your shoe,
metal plate on your shoe. That's it.
It's basically a combination of a flat shoe and a clipless system.
Correct.
That's cool.
So essentially, it's like having a flat shoe, but it locates to the same place every time.
Then how does it make the determination that you're lifting?
You just got to pull hard. Twist, yeah.
You twist,
and that creates the release.
You know, if you put two magnets, offset them, you slide them apart.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Except for we haven't really seen any.
No, we have seen it. Remember the rep sample. Came in with it.
We saw the sample, that's right.
Yeah. We haven't tried it. You mean.
No. We haven't tried
it. That's cool.
I don't know what the benefit of it is.
Are you kidding me? What's the benefit of riding clipless pedals?
Oh, really?
You can pull on them.
Right.
These you can't really pull on the same way. It's basically having a flat shoe pedal combination that locates your foot in the same place every time.
That's all.
So when you get close, it like guides your foot into the right spot exactly.
So when your foot is out, you can put it back and
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, for flats, it's great.
It's
yeah.
flat plus. That's what I would call it. It's
not clipless.
Yeah. Clipless minus flat plus. It's between the two.
Clipless.
We both ride clipless.
I know, it bugs me. That's not safe.
Have you ever snowboarded?
Opposite.
Would you
snowboard without a
bindings?
Bindings.
Such a different thing.
Why?
Because I put my feet down more.
Your feet are already down.
Huh? They're down. Yeah, they're down already. That's where it is. Like a skateboard, no, you can have it without bindings.
Like if I go into a turn, I get the it's the motocross style where that.
Which you can put
drops.
A foot out when you're on your snowboard and drag it through the corner.
Have you ever seen a person doing like surfing or skateboarding? They don't locked in. Why you're locked in?
I don't like to go over the handlebars and have the bike come with me.
They don't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Never?
Ever. If you crash, like actually crash, you will never
you
be connected to the bike.
What the fuck? What is that?
It's there's a garage door underneath us, and when they use it, it makes a noise.
It's a multi-level, multi-use kind of facility here. Can we?
Can we do this intoxicated someday?
And you'll do it. Can but I can't be.
No, yeah, you can.
I could be drunk for the first time.
Yes.
So it'd be like drunk history.
Yes.
Like whatever that show used to be.
That'd be so much fun.
Sure.
With you.
With me?
Yeah.
How do you? How are you drunk? Because he can't drink alcohol.
I don't like drinking.
He doesn't like the way it tastes. How do you get it? How do you get it there? In there.
I've done it once.
I'm not teasing. This is like a real question.
No, when we first drank for the
You're not listening to me. I've done it once. I got drunk once.
Okay.
So what I did is I tequilas, and I just took it like a kid takes a medication, like okay. Gripingly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Shoved it in my throat until I started feeling woozy.
See? Let's do that.
It was my 30th birthday.
Like getting him like three shots in, because he won't need a lot.
It was six.
One? Two, maybe?
Six. It took six.
To what? Make
six
you
tequila
sick?
Shot.
No, to get not woozy?
Six. To get like to feel it.
Oh, yeah. Give him six. Well, I'll do six shots. Bam. Bam, 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 bam.
You'll fall asleep. Bam. He'll fall asleep. And I'll be just talking nonstop.
That's not true. Six shots?
I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. I don't know what would happen.
I haven't had alcohol. And I don't drink very much, mm-hmm. very often. But you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not a correct. Not at all.
Promise to do one recording.
Of that?
Mm-hmm.
We can't. I mean, dark episode? I really don't enjoy like the problem.
I'm not trying to force you, bud.
Well, you're saying, you please are. Do one. That's a forcing step.
Yeah.
I'm not here. The funny thing is, I'm not anti-alcohol. I just don't like it, so I don't do it because I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it won't
it's a taste.
The problem is, I probably won't enjoy it.
Whippets.
What's
you ever done a whippet?
No, I don't know what a whippet is.
The CO2 that come in little canisters. See them on the sidewalk sometimes because people were doing them. They take the nitrous.
What CO2? Like the CO2 we use for the tires? Like that?
Nitrous, not CO2.
Nitrous. Oh, like the balloons.
Yeah.
Like,
that's helium. That's
helium.
Oh.
Okay. They put it in whipped
cream. Why don't
cream.
We just do it on helium?
Different thing. Whipped cream, it's not good for you from what I hear.
So why would I do something that's not good for me?
Because you're trying
Josh
to kill
is trying to peer pressure
you. Prolonged use. I just want to know if you... No, I just want to see what you'll
have you ever done LSD?
We should
have snorted it. Snorted LSD.
Let's go steal some catalytic converters.
Yeah, that are you talking? Making some money.
Yeah. We could start that. Nobody would be on to us.
And now you said it to the podcast. You said 2,000 people. Are
yeah.
It?
No, I can say I just was saying something to impress my friends.
Wait, who are your friend will be impressed if you steal catalytic converters?
No, I'm just saying I could just say it. Well, yeah, right.
What?
I'm just saying I would just be like, oh, I was just talking smack. I just was joking around.
Okay.
I just was trying to impress
Galata.
I think
this is the
Nathan.
End of this.
Oh, okay.
It's the end. This is the end.
I don't do anything fun like that anyway.
What? With stealing catalytic converters?
No, any of this stuff. I don't. I'm such a boring person.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah. So boring.
All right,
let's
boringest
go.
Boringest person we know.
Let's go fly in many planes we can to try.
We didn't talk about my plane stuff.
I know. We'll do
we'll
it next
talk
time.
Next time.
We talked
really
about planes,
have our,
though.
I'm trying
and
to
kidnapping
get,
planes.
Yeah, kidnapping planes.
Kidnapping planes.
God,
those damn. Planes are 5-year-old planes.
They
need to be kidnapped. All right. I'm still.
Do you have
trying
any news to share with people? Like new, like coming up, you start promoting, plugging stuff that's going on at the shop.
Actually, there's three races this next month. April. Sea Otter's coming up.
Sea Otter.
Yeah, Sea Otter's coming up.
Yeah.
The new inner bike, the outdoor inner bike, basically. Mm-hmm. That's always a good one. Are we going to close the shop and go to that? All of us.
I don't know.
Are we doing
man.
That?
Where is
life
it?
Is. I don't know
where
if life allows me.
Monterey.
To close the shop, we can. I'm not sure
let's
I'll be able to go to Monterey.
Hey, let's all.
Yeah, you are driving. What do you think? We're gonna fly there private flying.
Yeah, you know, guy. Listen. We can.
Can we fly your?
No, stop. Let's all. Why don't we all go? Us three.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna be more. And then Nathan actually has some work to do there. He's got his own.
But no, we stuff. Should. I know that other people can get invited to go.
Do you know how much hotel costs there?
Just us.
Just us.
It's going to be just $400 a night.
How many days is the show?
It's not too bad, but it's not that good either.
No, it's not. How many days?
It's like, well, I mean, technically it's 4 days.
Let's go for one.
No, it's a lot of. You want to go? It's big event.
Two. You want to be two? Friday and Saturday. Where do you want to go?
2 nights, 3 days.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday.
I want to go, but I don't know that I can with my schedule.
This is disappointing.
I know. It's disappointing to me too.
And he would love it. He would love it.
Maybe if I take Idan and then leave the rest of them here, then it would be a good.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
It won't. But it's not. It's not a good situation. He will enjoy there, but that means that I'm doing that. I'm not.
I'm not
doing the inner bike.
This would be like I'm not learning us to hang out. This I'm not going with.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not a kid thing. I think, and if it's a kid thing, then my wife and my daughter comes in. And then I can hang out during the day and at night.
Jesus, this is good.
Monterey's pretty cool. I mean, that's a great family area.
It is. Car Week
Aquarium.
I even heard that your lady wants to go, so that's good.
I want
to
see you fly your
trike
thing.
You got a trike now.
Your paraglider.
Nobody's got a new one.
Paramotor, sorry.
You've never
seen fly your paramotor into the venue. Because, you know, it's like $80 to get in there. You could just fly right in and drop right in on it. True. Not have to pay the thing.
Yeah, nobody would notice.
Nobody would notice. I mean,
nothing to see here.
Check it out. You dress in like a Captain America, like red, white, and blue flag thing going on.
Like
you get in for free. Nobody's going to.
Or not publicist, like a stunt for the show.
Yeah, like you're like.
Or do it during the national anthem. Do you think they open that event with the national anthem?
No.
Star Spangled they don't.
Band? It is not. There's not a race. It's like there's 100 races happening all over. Yes.
Sometimes they do that. Like if they're going to do a big event, they'll open it with like
that. There's no like crowd sitting in one place. No. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Next time is next time, and we'll find out what's next time happens next time. We might have a guest. We might not.
I'll come back.
It may be about bikes. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, join us next time. Thank you, everyone.
But we will probably ramble.
See you soon.
Bye.
Yeah.